Tom, what are you doing? We're recording.
Oh shit, sorry, I'm shopping. It's Cyber fucking Monday!
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Joining us this week is Andy Julia. He's the host of a new podcast, a fantastic podtastic duo.
Fantastic podcastic duo.
Thank you.
Got you.
It's such a tongue twister. Of course, leave it to Andy to do shit like that to us. Andy and the team have been supporters of our show since way back in the beginning when we were invited, us gay boys, were invited to join them on the Idiots Radio Show, which was a show that they had where Schmo the Intern and a lot of other characters.
Ray Anthony
and... Joanne Saraganakis. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I can't believe
so many people.
Anyway, the show is long since gone, but Andy is not. He is, of course, still doing it. He's got a new show with Ray Anthony, and we're going to have him on the show to talk about that new podcast and also to catch up with our good old friend who happens to be a fellow podcaster. So yeah. My name is Tom. I'm your host, and as always, I'm here in studio with the only one in studio today.
Surprise, surprise. Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Yes. So there's obviously a lot of people missing in the studio. Chris is not joining us today. He had an issue, a personal issue that he couldn't attend. And of course, Elsie is still somewhere in Meriden in her bliss. And but eventually, you know, when things calm down and we're all able to gather, we're going to eventually get together. And so you might be asking yourself, why is it that, you know, we're gathering? It's because we only see each other.
Pretty much, yeah.
So for the most part, Trish goes to work, gets tested, and then comes to my house. And that's basically how we live.
Yeah, it was funny because earlier today I was like, it's become like a coffee stop for me. It's like, hi, Nick, how are you? I'm like, I'll have a decaf
COVID
latte, you know, please. And then I wait for half an hour and then I'm like, okay.
And then, you know, she comes out pumped because she's negative and that's always good. Yeah. And, you know, and we've gotten into the habit of doing that. I think it's best. Listen, most of these COVID testing sites offer free testing. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of it. If you're going out and you feel that you may have in some way exposed yourself, then have a COVID test.
Yeah, and I'm paranoid. So, like, my pinky toe itches and I'm like, COVID.
Yeah.
You know, that is 100% the truth. Like, 100%.
Oh, I agree. And so, I have an appointment for tomorrow to go get tested. My mother arrived from Florida on Sunday. Against my better wishes or my better judgment, I let her go to Florida because you can't tell a 60-plus-year-old Hispanic woman that she can't go where she wants to go. And so when she got here, I said, well, you can't leave. You're quarantined for 14 days unless you go tomorrow and get a test. So she went today, mm-hmm. waiting on the results, and we'll know whether she's good. And as a result of me picking her up at the airport, then, of course, I also have to submit myself to testing. So, mm-hmm. you know, because you never know. Just be responsible. You know, we're all in this together, and we have to, in some way, shape, or form, figure out how we are going to best protect each other.
Yeah, I know. You're right. And what pisses me off is when I go somewhere and somebody has a mask on their face. And then their nose is hanging out of it. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's not doing anything.
Like, why even put the mask on?
Right. Why not be one of those crazy people that be like, no, I'm
not
wearing
a mask. Be a Karen, be a Ken. Like, right now, you're like half of each. Like, just put the fucking mask on.
But the correct way, all the way.
Right? It makes me crazy. It's like, it's not just about you, though. Like, it's about everybody else. Like, you, yes, are protecting yourself, but at the same time, you're protecting everybody around you.
And it right. And so it just, I don't know. It just, I feel that in some way, shape, or form, we're not getting audio on the live video stream. So I'm trying to fix that.
Yeah, well, I don't really
care.
Where
are we going? And, you know, it's just fucking crazy. It's just fucking crazy.
But that's, you know what? Like, people what just need to, like, we are, the epidemic is worse than it was. And we need to, like, man up. And we need to wear our masks and wear them correctly. Like this guy, I'm not even kidding you. I walk into the liquor store earlier. And why? Because we drink on the show. But I walk into the liquor store and this guy's mask is like underneath his nose.
Right.
And his nose is like a fucking schnoz, like massive fucking nose hanging over the thing. And I'm just like, all right, he's about to sneeze all over everything.
And you say to yourself, and I'm like,
and he's
why?
Breathing all over everything.
It's just horrible. It's just horrible. People, wear your mask. Yeah. That's all we ask. That's all we ask.
Like, if you have an issue with wearing a mask, get something fun. Like, I just got one with a fucking unicorn on it. It's amazing. I love it. Now I can't hear myself. Hi.
Hello.
I'm back.
I'm trying to fix this audio issue we're having.
Oh, just shut it off.
No. Hold on. You keep talking while I walk
talking
over there.
Talking about what?
Talk about anything.
All right.
Tell me about your weekend.
Oh, yeah. So, I didn't really do much, but I did do some stuff, so... obviously, Tom and I pretty much quarantined together, so we had Thanksgiving together, and it was actually kind of nice. It was you, me, and Steve, and your brother.
Right.
And we all sat on different sides of the house. And Tom is just running around. But it was nice, weird. And then I call my parents, and they're at a restaurant in Florida with my 90-year-old grandfather eating dinner. And I'm like, I'm literally 6 feet from everybody in this house, and my grandfather, who is 90, is sitting at a dining table in a packed restaurant in Florida.
And Florida. Florida. What can we say about Florida?
What the fuck?
Seriously. Like, there's no mask mandate. In most of the counties in Florida, bars are open. You can go in. You can do whatever you want. And granted, listen, hey, listen, I would love to go to a bar. Oh. I work at a bar.
We used to,
right? And we haven't been to a bar since March. And it's just sad that that is the new reality for us. We got sound back. Yay. Thank you. It's just sad. It really is. And when I see people really being careless and going out and drinking, because you know when you start drinking, things just go out the window and you can't really be sound of judgment. And so you start taking, you know, not being careful and shit just goes out the door. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm seeing in Florida is a lot of that. Right, it's seeing a lot of people just being very careless as a result of drinking because all caution is
thrown to the wind at a certain point.
Right, and it's scary.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like in my parents' county, they are doing way better than New Haven right now, but they're not living in a city like New Haven.
Right.
So it's different, but at the same time, it's like just be safe.
Right. Do what you have to do. Listen, if we do what we need to do between now and New Year's, there is a potential that we could be, right? Because there's a vaccine on the other end of that.
Speaking of which, are you going to take it?
Because I'm not hearing Donald Trump say, take the vaccine. And I'm hearing professionals, people that have been in the forefront of pandemics before, like Anthony Fauci, for example, who did amazing work during the AIDS pandemic. If he tells me that this is safe and that he's going to take it, I will take the vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm really looking for support from people who have been doing this for decades. I want career epidemiologists. Oh, my God. I'm saying big words.
Wow.
That have been through this before, that have the experience to say, this is good. 95% is effective enough for me. Take it. Because at the other end of that, right, herd immunity, in order for you to be successful in having a slowdown of COVID as a result of a vaccine, at least 65% of the population needs to take that vaccine for it to work with the herd immunity theory.
Right. And also, like, people that think they had it or know they had it, they can get it again.
Yes.
Like, the reality is, I know a friend who works in the hospital, and his coworker had COVID in the first wave, and then in the second wave, he got it again.
Right.
Like, just, you can get it again.
I just had a friend of mine reach out to me today, someone that we both know, who said, he was, hey, listen, I'm home. I'm literally dying. What's your Netflix password? Because he has COVID.
Oh, God.
And he can't leave. And of course, I was like, yeah, my here's my username. Here's my password. Please log in and watch all the movies you can. Let me know if you need some soup or anything, if I can run for you and grab anything. Yeah. Because it is scary. And he's like, you know, I work in a hospital. I work for Yale. And I know how serious this is. And I'm sitting home right now, literally losing my shit, losing my mind. I don't know what to do. There's other people, for example, who have publicly disclosed that they had COVID. For example, Dante, who we've had on the show before.
Oh, wow.
He posted on his Facebook that he was COVID positive and he was going through it. And it's nothing to joke about. And so it's serious. Do what you need to do, people. This really, there's a lot of side effects that come with going through COVID even after you're COVID free. So just be careful.
That being said, I'm done talking about COVID.
Yes. Off we go. So listen, we've got some amazing stories. Hold on,
wait, what happened with you this weekend? You had a whole week off.
I did. I did. That's right. I had an entire week off. Every year I take Thanksgiving week off because I'm already off Thursday and Friday by default. And so all I have to use is just 3 days of vacation to make it a whole week. Hello. And so, you know, I play my cards right. I like to use my vacation time wisely. I think it's something that here in the U.S. we don't take advantage of in most companies.
Workers' guilt.
Right. It's something that you earned. Use it. And don't let people sucker you into, oh, you're on vacation, but I need you to answer this question. No, bitch, I'm off.
You know what annoys me about that?
Right.
It's when you have to submit for approval.
Right.
No, I earned this time.
Right, I did.
I'm letting you know I'm taking it. Right. Why do I have to wait for your approval? You need to see it and say, okay, thank you for letting me know.
Right.
That's what pisses me off about vacation.
And that's sadly a very, very, very real reality for a lot of people who are salaried, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a salaried employee. And so therefore, I get paid hourly. And, you know, you contact me, I'm going right on the clock and charging you.
Do you have to, can somebody decline your vacation?
Yes. So I have to submit for vacation. So first and foremost, I'm a union employee, which means that vacation gets granted by seniority. So the person with the most seniority gets to pick first. I'm not the person with the most seniority.
Right.
And therefore, there are certain weeks that...
Are you sure? How old are you?
I'm a cut her. So there are people in my department that have been there 30-plus years already. And so they get to pick first. So, of course, a week of Christmas goes. Like, certain weeks that are really popular always go, and I never get to get those. Right, until I get up there.
Right.
But I usually use my vacation time to take every Monday off during the summer, the week of Thanksgiving, because usually it's available. And I love taking this week off. It really gives me an opportunity to, like, get things done around the house, especially outside, because it's not too cold, it's not too hot, and it's just perfect. But yeah, and so it's sad. That we don't take advantage of the fact that we earn that time and we should use it. And I think employers...
Beyond just use it. Use it whenever the hell you want to use it. Without, like, it just makes me annoyed that you have to get approval to use time that you've accrued for putting the work in.
Well, I mean, I understand the concept, right? For example, there are certain times...
But as an employee, I'm not going to put in for vacation when I know I've got, you know, an event coming up in a week.
Right.
You know... people aren't dumb.
Right. And so those are the things that companies need to keep in mind is what is the need of the business? And does this meet the requirements? And so...
And then if an employee is putting in for time off when everybody knows they should not be, that employee shouldn't work there because they don't have the best interests of the company or themselves at heart.
Right. But there comes times in where you would need to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like,
as long as it doesn't happen every year or not even bereavement. You know, you want to go on a cruise, and unfortunately, the cruise that you want to go on only operates during that 1 week that, you know, the company is really at their highest. And so you have to have that conversation with your supervisor or your manager, whoever it is that you report to, and say, hey, you know, I really would like to, what can we do about this? Can we make some sort of arrangement?
Yeah.
Can we get coverage, et cetera? But the thing is, I'm starting to see a trend that most companies start to think as every day they open is critical and important for business, mm-hmm. especially around COVID now, right? Mm-hmm. Most employees are working from home. You know that the level of productivity, however, it might increase because employees have less distractions, but also connectivity issues may prevent successful
transactions,
et cetera. And so therefore, you know, a lot of companies might be a little behind as a result of not having ideal working conditions. And so taking vacation in the midst of a pandemic is challenging as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't know.
So, bitch.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So that's that. And so I went back to work today to hundreds of emails. Which typically is the normal thing when you are away for a couple of days mm-hmm. and then you come back, you open that inbox and you're like, oh my God, it's like fighting with you. It's like, bitch, it's Mondays. Seriously. But, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, that's why when I went on vacation, which is actually not healthy, but I never turn my email off on my phone.
Oh, I do. I don't want nothing to do with it. I will deal with the stress when I'm on the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because it is what it is. You know, if they
couldn't come back to like 250, 300 emails. Like
I've come back to over 500 emails.
Like I can't.
And all I do is just delete,
click, red. Yeah. Like cannot.
Yeah, because you know, I'm sorry if I wasn't here for an entire week.
Have you ever responded to an email and then gotten like a week later in the email and realized that the problem had already been solved?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the time. God, it makes me feel so stupid.
All the time. And I'm like, but that's because people are not good about replying all.
Yeah.
Right? They reply all when they're not supposed to.
Or when they want to shame someone.
Right. Like me. I do that often. Anyway, so listen, there's a couple of things that we want to touch on before we go on break and bring back our guests. We've got two stories that we want to talk about. But before we move on, it is important to recognize that tomorrow, December 1st, is World AIDS Day. And we on the show would like to recognize and remember all the beautiful souls that we have lost as a result of that horrible virus and pandemic that came through and took the gay community especially and decimated it in the early 80s. And we have, as a community, been struggling since, even in the midst of amazing breakthroughs, we're still struggling as a community to overcome the stigma that that comes with being HIV positive, you know, and there's a lot of,
you have to remember, it wasn't like COVID. If you were diagnosed at a certain point during the pandemic, you died.
Right. It was almost a guaranteed death sentence for a lot of people. You know, you also have to think about the fact that, you know, being gay in the 80s wasn't always something that was accepted. Right. And especially by parents, family members and things like that. So if you were gay and HIV positive and on your deathbed, most times you had no one to be by your side and see you through to the other side. And, you know, if you need a reminder of that, is think about all the countless thousands of people that have been buried on our island mm-hmm. Who didn't have family members that wanted to either willingly go and recognize the bodies of family members. And so they were buried, you know, with no one.
on top of one another in unmarked boxes.
Right. And so it is important that as a community, we come together and rally around what World AIDS Day means to us and what we recognize and what we remember and how we celebrate that. Because we have to take care of each other. And, you know, I'm grateful for things like, for example, PrEP and the fact that you can, at this point, be undetectable and live a completely normal life.
Normal life.
Right? And have a partner without risking transmission.
Yep.
And so it is important to think about all of the accomplishments that we have had in the past decade, but also remember those that we lost. And so I wanted to mention that. And to all of our brothers and sisters out there, please make sure that you, you know, think about how you want to celebrate that in whatever way you can. So
celebrate or honor.
Or honor, right. Yeah. People that you've lost. There are countless people that live today that lost a lot of people in the 80s. And so, you know, it's a day of remembrance. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
All right. So. Two stories. I believe these are happy ones. So first and foremost, I want to talk about a powerhouse, Corinne Jean Pierre. If you don't know who she is a powerhouse lesbian, an out lesbian in the LGBT community that was literally just named White House Deputy Press Secretary. And she will be working for the Biden administration. And if you're not sure who she is, she is that woman that during the presidential primaries, when Kamala Harris was having a discussion on stage with two women, a man jumped on stage and tried to take her microphone away from her. He was successful in doing that, but Corinne got in between Kamala Harris and this person. Before a barrage of people came in and removed the mic from his hands and dragged him out.
Yeah, but she also handled it well. Like, you know, he said that he had some big idea he wanted to share. And so she, you know, kept everybody calm by continuing to talk about what was going on and acknowledging that this person was, you know, had something he wanted to share, but this was not appropriate.
Right.
What he did was wrong.
Right.
And eventually that person was removed. But what was amazing about it was
The husband jumped on stage and grabbed that guy and the mic and said, "You gotta go."
Now imagine if that was me and my gay husband was up there. I'd be like, "Oh, hell fucking no." I would have jumped on that stage far earlier.
It was very scary to see it all play out in slow motion, right? Because it feels like you're watching everything in slow motion.
And you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you see Kamala there and she's like, she kind of froze.
Right.
And then when she had a moment that she's off. Like, okay, this is an exit moment. I'm going to take my exit. But I mean, when you're a woman of color or when you're a person of power, let alone a woman of color.
Right.
In that situation.
Right.
She did everything right.
Right. And the reason why I wanted to bring up that one event was because it just gives you an idea of the caliber of person that Kareem is, right? It gives you an idea of how powerful and also how fearless she is. Mm-hmm. So I really would like to congratulate a fellow member of our community, Corinne Jean Pierre, for being, you know, appointed the White House Deputy Press Secretary.
And being open and honest about who you are.
And she's fantastic.
In politics.
Right. And she is fantastic, and I think she's going to do a great job. And the Biden-Harris campaign did a phenomenal job in selecting her. She is, first and foremost, very well known. Mm-hmm. She's on all the news shows all the time. She is absolutely incredible when she speaks. You listen. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's going to do a good job. So I'm excited for her.
I'm just excited about the entire cabinet and everybody that he's appointing right now. Right. Like, honestly, everybody that comes out, I'm like, okay.
You know, it was good to see John Kerry come back. John Kerry was Secretary of State during Obama's administration for the first term and into a little bit into the second one. And then Hillary Clinton took over when he stepped down. But it's good to see him come back because it shows that, you know, the people that are being appointed to these positions, they're not career politicians. They're people with experience. And I think that we overuse that phrase, career politicians, No, this is people of experience, people who have been doing this for so long that they have the connections. They have the means to which to be able to move the machine and make things happen, right? And when you think about career politicians and what Donald Trump did with the presidency and the people that he appointed with no experience, completely laughable, a whole bunch of like, literally, it was a clown car.
Yeah. I do think that there should be term limits for the Senate and the Congress.
Agreed.
But because I do think we do have a lot of career politicians that should not still be there, should not have been able to run again.
Right. But in that same... It's a catch 22.
And that
22.
Are being bought off by lobbyists. Like, it's
a catch 22 because had we not had people that have been there more than one or two terms, you wouldn't get people like Maxine Waters. You wouldn't get people like Nancy Pelosi, who are avid supporters of the LGBT community. You wouldn't get people like a Joe Biden that would have lasted that long in Congress because of term limits that eventually would become people who we want to see in places of power.
Right. No, I think you're right.
It's a catch 22.
It really is. I do think that the Supreme Court being a life appointment is I think that's right. I'm okay with that. But I do think that there needs to be some adjustment about how long or how many consecutive terms you can actually,
like, what's the magic number? Like, I would say maybe three, right? So when you think about the Senate, each term is 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, being in power...
And just because you're not in the Senate anymore doesn't mean you can't serve as Secretary of State or this or that.
Right, or other positions. But here's the kicker, right? So why are we mad at people who are constantly going out there and being elected, returning to Congress? The problem is
some people
are,
I think, personally okay, right? But then you have people that are living off the backs of lobbyists or being bought out and they're running again and they're running with agendas. And the agenda should not be for you or your financial gain. It should be for your constituents, not no one else.
Right.
And I think that a lot of our politicians that are career politicians lose sight of what that actually means because they get bought off.
But that's honestly something that we say about a lot of politicians. But in the end, their constituents keep electing them. And so who are we to say that a state or a district can't choose their representation regardless of how many terms they've served in Congress, right?
I mean, I think there should be term limits.
I agree with you 100%. But then, you know, for those who don't, I can understand why, right? Because in the end, you know, yes, the U.S. Senate and yes, the House of Representatives is a national apparatus. But in the end, that movement that puts people there starts at the state level. Mm-hmm. And so this is why we say, you know what? Don't pay too much attention to what happens nationally
to
happen.
But then you have people that are gerrymandering and, like, you know, making voter suppression happening within those states. And those come from the national level and the state level. So, I mean, there's a lot to look at.
Well, gerrymandering is a byproduct of local effort to redistrict based on census from the data from the census, right?
But census repression is a thing as well.
Right. So, but the thing we have to recognize is that when districts are drawn, they're not drawn by a federal agency. They're drawn by local state legislatures.
Correct.
And so that's why you have to pay attention to what's going on locally, you know, because it does affect what happens nationally.
But you don't think that the national or the senator for, you know, the U.S. Congress is not affecting the state Congress?
Oh, of course.
100%.
They're pushing change, et cetera.
100%.
And so while I agree that there should be term limits, I don't think it's something that we're going to see anytime soon. Reason being, because it would take a constitutional
amendment
to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And you would have to have a minimal, at least 34 states to sign up. So that is that. But anyway, congratulations to Karine Jean-Pierre. Fabulous. I'm looking forward to seeing you in your role as White House Deputy Press Secretary.
As am I. You've done
an amazing job. Trish, you've got a story?
We got to go to break.
We do? Oh my God, it's 6:32. All right. Well, Listen, guys, let me put this little quick overlay here. We're going to go leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have Andy Julia when we return. Here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just to say. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. But they're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. They got a knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. So much terror in our past. How are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey. And don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. Head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back from the break. That, of course, was Wastelands by Amanda Barrick, her debut album released on July 31st. It is available on all the music streaming services. Make sure that you go check it out and buy it. It's amazing. She's awesome. All right, listen, joining us now, of course, is our good friend Andy Julia. He is one half a host of the new podcast, The Fantastic Podcastic Duo. That's a tongue twister. Say that three times fast.
Well, you can't.
And I'm super excited because I got to see what we can see in studio. You guys can't, but we can. The Sausage Fingers. And we love our good friend Andy. Andy, welcome to the show.
They're What's still up, there. Guys? Hey, we miss you.
I miss you, Trish. How are you, bitch?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm COVID like 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we all are.
I'm like COVID 50.
That's all right. We'll knock it off quick. It ain't no big deal. Oh my God.
So, Andy, it's
Tom. How are you, Tom?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Good, you know, big, gay, and in charge, all of that good stuff, you know.
Right.
I'm still hating Trump.
I know.
And, you know, it's been, I can't believe it's been over 3.5 years, more than that, since we were on your previous podcast, The Idiots Radio. We came down to Wildfire Studios. Wildfire Radio, that's right. And you guys welcomed us with open arms. You've been an ally of our community. And so we're super excited to welcome you back and share with people your new show.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. It's been a rough couple of years. We lost Larry. Schmo passed away.
Right.
It was like that. We had some bad karma going on, man. It was like God was trying to like whack us all. Ray got in a massive accident after he left the show, and he was like crippled for a while. But he's back. He's walking and everything again. And I had a heart attack. I had a widowmaker.
A widowmaker.
I had a widowmaker, and I lived through it, which is great because I was on the job when it happened. But anyway, so. Things happened or whatever, and then Ray decided he wanted to go back and do another podcast. So he called me, and of course, you know, the chemistry was there. So I said, "Yeah." And now we're back on, and now we're like 13 shows in, and like top 50 in podcasting magazine. We don't know where the hell we fall in the top 50. So,
hey, listen, at least you're falling in the top 50, which is always great, right? Are you guys still recording?
You know how this works. If we go, you go.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah,
you know, and one of the things that
are
I
you
always...
still, oh, sorry, are you guys still at Wildfire Radio? I heard in some way it changed a bit. I don't.
Yeah, they actually left, and they've moved like two different places or whatever since I was there originally with the Idiots.
Right,
but they finally got a good building, and it's Jim, and I don't know if you guys know Joe Kelly. Tom, maybe you've talked to him. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember Joe Kelly. We met him when we went down.
It's just, those two are running it now. So they're in a new building. It's Wildfire Podcasting Studios.
Okay.
But they just finished the studio. I think we're getting video next week. It looks great in there. Yours looks awesome. I love the way your setup is, Tom.
Well, thank you. One of these days, you know, when COVID is gone and we're able to reconvene, we'd like to welcome you and sit with us on this table and dish with us.
Absolutely, man. I'd love to come up and see you guys, hang out, have dinner and stuff. Yeah. Tom, we could go out and have a great time, man. Food? Oh, give me a break.
Listen, fatty to fatty. We can do this. We can do this. So, Andy, so you started this new show. It's called The Fantastic Podcastic Duo.
Right.
Tell me about it.
I want to talk about the hate crime, though, first.
Hate crime?
Yeah, Ray and his fucking dogs. He's like, can you throw something at them? And then, who was it? Was like, that's a hate crime. You can't do it. It's fucking hilarious. The show is great.
His one dog is hornier than, I mean, it just walks over and just rips into the other one, like face fucks it. I'm so strong constantly. And Ray should be, I think Ray should go to jail or something, or have some therapy or something. He constantly videotapes. And sends them to me and Jim. Like, we don't want to see this shit, dude. What are you doing?
Yes, you do. Don't lie.
Dog porn.
Are you kidding me? That's like material galore.
At one point, he was trying to pimp his dogs out, his gay dogs out, to your female dog. And you're like, no, that's not going to happen.
He's a fucking mess. He really is. He never changes. That's the way he is.
Well, I'm excited that you guys are back on the radio. I remember when we first went down to Wildfire Studios at the time.
Right.
You guys had a whole fucking like introduction. And when the gays come marching in, I was dying. Fucking Ray Anthony is obviously hilarious. There were some issues at some point in time with the Idiots Radio where he had to leave because of associations with work. Are we all good with that now? He can be on a podcast and nobody's going to like fuck with him?
Yeah, he can't even remember his name, so.
Yeah. No, it's good. He got stuff straightened out so we could do the podcast. Because I didn't want to go back and do something that, like, you know, that was shitty. So I told him, I said, look, I'll come back if we can go back to doing what we used to do. And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. I said, okay, good. So that's what we're doing.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And it's just me and him. I'm not bringing everybody else in. In fact, next week is the first, I think, the first show that I'm bringing anybody from the old cast. I mean, I stayed friends with Drea. Andrea's coming in studio next week.
Oh, that's awesome. So for those of you who are listening on our show, Drea Richards, of course, she is a phenomenal transgender woman, a member of our community. She owns a salon right in the heart of Philadelphia. And she was a cast member for The Idiot. She's going to be joining you guys. Andy, you've always been a really good supporter of our community. Tell us why.
Well, mainly because, I mean, well, my wife is, she's a lesbian. And, you know, we've raised five daughters together. We decided a long time ago when she first, you know, decided to come out and everything that we wouldn't split up, that we would stay together, raise our kids. And just be a family. And, you know, our kids are so well-adjusted. You see a lot of these families and their kids are a mess because the parents don't get along or just the hate is just so bad between them, but it affects the kids. And in our relationship, I mean, we're more like siblings now. I mean, we've been through this for over 10 years where, you know, we've lived this style, you know?
Right.
So are you guys
open? I live mine. What's that?
Are you guys open?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We don't hide anything from anybody. I mean, you know, everybody like Hamilton, you know, knows us cause we've lived here almost our entire lives. So, I mean, our friends, we're both like, I mean, I don't want to say very popular in the area or whatever, but I mean, it is our hometown and it's small. So if you know one person, you know, everybody.
Right.
And pretty much everybody knows the deal. It's like, you know, I've never heard a bad word from anybody like, oh, we don't want your kids over because of the situation you're in or anything like that.
Right.
So it's, we've actually like turned a bit, what could have really been a horrific thing into something really great.
Yeah. Right. So I do have to ask, like, if I was one of the Gay Talk listeners and I just started listening to your podcast because you haven't been on on our show in years.
Right.
Right.
And we obviously have more listeners at this point. How do you then explain, because like I listen to it and I'm like, okay, here we go,
right?
The gays, like this, like whatever you say, like I'm like, all right, here we go, but right. Like I'm fine with it because I know you and I know how much you support the community, but like right. How do you explain your verbiage to people? I mean, really, it's hilarious in the way you kind of, you know, talk about different things, whether it's the right. You know, gay dogs or whatever, but like how do you kind of explain that to people that like say something like, that's a little homophobic?
Well, because the thing is, it's all in good fun. It's everything. We're not trying to do anything to hurt anybody, right? I'll give you an example. Like the last 2 weeks, Ray has spent a lot of money on Kiss, the band Kiss, on their live auctions, right? So, I mean, I grew up with the band.
Have you seen their outfits? Who wouldn't?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And he's nuts. He wants to walk around dressed like Gene Simmons. And he's going to look like Elvis from 77 stuffed in a Gene Simmons. So nobody wants to see
a gut hanging out on him. I would pay for that. I would pay to see that.
But, so, I mean, I've researched a lot of stuff. So I'm caught up with the whole, when he's referring to Kiss and stuff, you know, and the auctions. Well, I've seen a lot of videos. And Paul Stanley, I never realized, like, you know, them videos, they pack so many women in them. It's almost like they're high. Like, we're going to add all these women to hide the fact that Paul's gay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they do it, and you're like, I know what's going on here. I mean, right. Come on. So, I mean, look, I'm not big on the slurs on any of it. I never have been. I got chewed out for a comment I made a long time ago, and actually, Tom straightened it out with a listener. And so, I mean, it was a slip up on my part, but that does that. We don't do anything. We're not into hurting anybody. Right. We give, I mean, like that example today, we had the thing about Kiss on. I said, Paul dances like a gay horse, you know, like, cause look, you guys know how Paul Stanley dances. It's like right elbow to left knee. You know what I mean? And left elbow. Exactly, Tom.
He's wearing
like a cape. Or, you know, whatever, sequins. Right. I mean, come on.
I mean, when you think about a lot of the rock bands, when you think about Kiss, when you think about, for example, Motley Crue, they were very androgynous in the way they presented themselves on stage.
And yeah, that's, Poison.
Right. Think of Poison.
The first time I saw Poison, I was like, oh my God, these girls, look at them. And it was guys. I'm like, oh no.
Right. And but you look at artists like, for example, Ozzy Osbourne, and you think about, you know, the man fucking bit a live bat on freaking in live in concert, didn't even know he had a freaking live bat, and blood is like gushing all over. That was just what it was in the 80s. Yeah. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah. People, now you look at them and they're all like fat. They all lost their voices.
Right.
And you got, but you still have Paul Stanley, who weighs 110 pounds, jumping around on stage. And like, you know, and just the fact that Ray loves them. I love busting Ray's balls. So, I mean, you add Kiss to that mix. Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
No, yeah, you guys have a really amazing chemistry.
You do. Oh, and Ray is very witty, right? So a lot of people don't know his co-host, Ray, is extremely witty. If you ever get an opportunity, we did post it on our server. So you can go and listen to the first time we were on the Idiots Radio.
Or you don't have to. I remember I was like sitting next to Schmo and I was like sweating. And like, oh my God, what is this guy? Who is this guy?
Wait, I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but I mean, and I wish he was alive so I could tell you, but he was never around any gays his entire life.
Right.
Never. So when you guys came in, he was under the impression that, you know, somebody was going to anal rape him right on the spot. You know what I mean? That's what he thought.
Right.
Because that's what he grew up with. But when he met you guys, it was like a whole different world open to him. You know what I mean? It really was.
Yeah, we were muddling in the back of our truck, mm-hmm. and we had all these drinks, and everyone in the studio that night were able to taste our muddled cocktails at that point
yes.
in time.
Yeah.
And you're right. We did have a conversation with Schmo, may he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, I never really was exposed to gay people. You guys really were the people that broke my cherry. But he had been on our show numerous times.
Yes. Yeah, and he would, like, he... out of everybody that we met, and I love you, Andy, but he would message me all the time.
Right. Well, you were his
happy
wife.
I know. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy, you know, Merry Christmas. Right. Just like always checking in. And he was a special individual. And yeah, I'm so happy I met him.
Like that, man. With anybody, like he would text me at 2:30 in the morning asking if I want a T-shirt made. And I'm like, I'm asleep. Why are you bothering me? And then his wife did, after he passed, his wife did the same thing. She contacted me at like 2:00 in the morning. I'm going to make shirts. Do you want any? I'm like, not really right now. We don't even know what we're doing yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that I still have the hot seat that he made for us.
Yeah, it's upstairs, actually.
Oh, it's upstairs. It's in my office.
Awesome.
It never goes anywhere. And we still have the shirts that he made for us, where it says, you know, the Idiots and then Gay Talk in our names.
Yep. And Chris is still part of the show. He's just not with us
Yeah,
today.
He's MIA today. Yeah. You know.
Shit happens. What's the... what was the kid's name that
Paul.
Was on the... He was nuts.
The one that was floating, floating in Texas somewhere getting his butthole raped?
Ray just brought that up on the show like 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's like, "That's the guy that had his asshole ripped out. Where's he at?" It's the last time when I talked to him.
Yeah. This show has changed a lot the past couple of years.
It has. So. It has. You know, Paul is alive and well. He's doing amazing. You know, as with all of us, we're trying to make the best of COVID. And it's very hard to be gay and be confined to four walls. Right.
Well,
you don't
it's very
have
hard
anything
to be
to
anybody
suck, fuck,
confined.
Or, right.
Yeah.
But it's even harder when you're gay because we live for
gay
being
single,
being out and about and having cocktails and you know,
right.
getting together with our friends. And when you enclose us in four walls in a fucking, you know, house, we're like, what the fuck? I'm like, I need a cocktail. I need friends. I need this. I need that. I need to suck a dick. I need, you know, all that good stuff. It's just fucking crazy.
Who's the bartender? Is Nick, you working at that bar? Didn't you work at a bar?
Both of us did.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah.
Right. Closed.
So that must be a pain in the ass because did they close down or anything?
Yeah, what's going on? So I lost my full-time job because of COVID. Right. And I also lost my job at the bar because of COVID.
Jesus Christ.
So currently I'm doing all right. I'm taking a real estate class, whatever. I'm also consulting for different theater companies who are raising money, which is great. It's extra cash on the side, but it's been a very, very different year for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So same thing with Ray and I. Both of us lost our jobs because of COVID. We're both home. He's I don't know how he keeps up with all the online shit that he does with the auctions and all with Kiss stuff, but eventually we're going to have an auction. He's going to sell the stuff he bought. I don't even understand why he does this, but.
You make money. Hey. You buy something at one price and you sell it at another. That's the name of the game.
Yeah. He's just a nutbag, though.
And it's Kiss memorabilia, so people are going to buy it, right? People are going to want it.
Tom, I've been following these auctions, and, dude, I'm telling you, there's guys that are on these auctions that are in, like, the room that they're in is as big as the little table that they're sitting at, like at a TV table.
Yep, right.
And he's, like, trying to sell this cape, and he's a fat guy. He has to run out of the room to go get Paul Stanley's onstage cape, and it looks like a napkin that he has on backwards around it. He's, like, waiting to eat, and he swung it around the back. That's exactly what it looks like. And he's, like, my opening bid is, like, $2,500. Look at this thing. Paul wore this on stage. And then nuts are like, I'll give you $3,000.
Right, and within like 5 seconds, somebody's like 3,000, and then four.
Dude, it was. I think it wound up going for like 6,700 or something.
It's insane.
When all was said and done,
it's freaking crazy. So, let's talk about your podcast.
Yes,
as Nick said before, what can we expect? Raunchy, crazy.
We scaled back the raunch. It's not going to be as raunchy. I mean, last week we did a show that we can't air. Because it just got way out of hand. A girl called in and she had some really like messed up swinger sex. And she told us the whole thing. And there's not an ounce of that show we can have on the, we have it still, but we can't, it's going to have to be like down the road when we have like, you know, something like an extra content on a page or something that we can add there for adults only or the scumbags only. I don't even know what to think at this point.
So Wildfire Podcasting Studios are censoring podcasters now?
No, we just, Ray wants to do it on, you know, just cut back on the filth. You know what I mean? To expand the audience.
That's kind of what we did a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it does get old after a while. I mean, like Stern, you know, it's Stern did it for, and I don't even like that stuff. You know what I mean? I don't. I like just being original, being us, the going back and forth about things. It's always funny and whatever. Yeah, add the raunch to it. It gets to be, you know, a little expected after a while. And you're like, okay, I'll move on to the next thing because this is all it's going to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
How many times I listen to Stern talk about, oh, this hot girl, where do you see her? And then Saturday night they would show whatever happened during a week. And she's like a bag of bones, but he was making a big deal out of her. You know what I mean? So right. It does take away from the show, I think.
Right. So what type of things do you like to talk about on the show? What is Andy anything. All about?
Anything. I mean, you can find humor in any just about anything.
Right.
So, like I said, we've been doing stuff about Kiss auctions, just that, you know, Trump refusing to go, refusing to leave or even concede. Mm-hmm. And you got other, like, you know, there's times where you're like, you know, I've sat there and I'm like, you know, I pick up for the guy. I'm like, you know, they ought to leave him alone, you know, and then all of a sudden he comes out with something like, I mean, less than 5 minutes after I back the guy and say, you know, he's not that bad. He says something extremely dumber than the first thing he said. Right. And I'm like, you can't even back this guy. I don't even believe him.
Like, how do you defend that shit, right?
You can't. Dude, you can't.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm not really a political guy, but I mean, I, you know, you can watch this stuff and pick it apart. It's like, you know, even CNN every night, another bombshell, you know, with
everything is fucking breaking news.
Yeah. Like, everything is.
Every minute. Doom, 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 breaking news. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? Like, what now?
I got breaking news this morning about Biden fracturing his foot. I'm like, I don't care that he's going to be in a fucking boot for like 6 weeks.
And then they turn around and they're like, another bombshell with the Biden campaign not releasing all the medical information or whatever. And it was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He literally fractured his foot and they told everybody about it.
Yeah. I just, you know, and I just can't. I just can't anymore. It's like 4 years of this craziness, and you're like, is this a fucking, like, are we being punked?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. But you just don't know. So Ray Anthony, what does he prefer to talk about? Is he still as crazy and creative as he always is?
Yeah. Yeah, he's we haven't changed that much. Like I said, it was just the filth that we got away from. My girls are all older now. So, I mean, I had three of them still living at home, and they think that they run the place because they're all getting older. So, like, as an example, I went in to take a shower before the show this morning, and my bath mats go missing. They, like, clean the bathroom, you know, which is great, but they took the bath mat out. So I have to, like, wedge my feet up against each side of the shower stall so I don't fall in there because it's good. The mat's gone. And then you ask them, like, what the fuck did you take it for? And they were like, there was hair in between it. We're going to buy a new one when we get a chance. I'm like, well, when's this going to happen? I'm going to have to wear like suction socks and like in the shower.
You mean your sausage toes can't like grip on? Come on now.
They're too fat to grab anything. So I got to wedge them on the walls, like, you know, up against the wall on each side.
So I'm not even kidding you. Like, this is the type of shit they talk about. Like, it's really amazing. But like, it's great because you find humor. And like, if our listeners don't know, you are a comedian and you have. You know, in the past, I don't know if you still do stand up, but they find ways to find humor in the weirdest shit.
Right. And shit's included.
Exactly.
I can tell you that. I can go back and listen to the episode that we recorded in your studio when you were doing the Idiots Radio, and I can pee my pants all over again every single freaking time.
Yeah.
It was just incredible. So I'll give you a little description. So we were talking about, like, for example, the gays walking in, and all of a sudden, they start playing the theme song for the Oyster Bar from the movie Police Academy. And I'm like, oh my God, Police Academy. I remember that. It was just incredible. And, you know, you guys.
Meanwhile, I'm getting raped by Schmo.
Right.
The way I like to think we do things is mocking the whole, like, you know, heterosexual stereotype. You know what I mean? Right. How they, you know, they're like so macho, but it's so macho. Do you realize how gay you are? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the thicker the mustache, the more I'm hiding how gay I am or something. I don't get it. So we make fun of that stuff. It's not making fun of gay people at all. You know what I mean? It's making fun of straight people trying to hide the fact that they don't want anybody to think that they might have a gay tendency or look gay in any way. You know what I mean?
Or they have some type of, like, feminine quality to them.
Right, exactly.
I mean, like, so... I wanted to ask you if you would ask Ray if he would write a poem for us.
Okay. Right. I would love it. I really would.
Yeah, that's on. I don't want to hear any bullshit. That's on YouTube. I'll ask him.
I died. I literally died. So I have not listened to many episodes yet. I just started. Right. But the poem about the bat, yeah. I'm like, this is not rhyming at all. One.
Right.
It's terrible too,
but it's fucking hilarious.
But it's also very phallic. So Ray, what is going on? You really have those gay dogs on the brain right now, like.
No, but I think you guys are geniuses in what you do and how you present your material and the way you talk about subjects on your show that makes it like you're taking ordinary things, like, for example, something as simple as baking a fucking pie and making a shit show of it. And it's fucking incredible. And we honestly appreciate it. Not only that we've had and maintained such an amazing relationship, even after our perspective, like, joinings of the gays and the straights on your show. but it's been an amazing ride for all of us. And to see that, you know, as podcasters and as people and personalities that like to, you know, bring content to people, we do it very uniquely, but you guys really kill what you do. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
And
I love the fact that we've been able to share so much. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where, like, you know, and nobody would ever, I bet you if you explained both podcasts to people, they'd be like, you guys, how can you possibly share anything? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But we've shared hosts, I mean, guests, and I just, like, support each other through sharing on the internet and everything and being on each other's shows. It's been, like, and it's been a great relationship.
Yeah.
And I truly appreciate it. You know, you are a fantastic, not only a fantastic podcasting duo, but you are a fantastic human being. You're in touch with our communities. Thank you, baby. Thank you. You're in touch with our community. You support our community. You have worked with countless podcasters from the LGBT community to promote and bring awareness. And we're super appreciative because without allies like you, we would be in deep shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I think that is important to bring forward. And also, you know, the fact that we took almost an entire cast who had never had experiences with any gay people, period, and converted them to one of the most lovable, bearable, take a shit in the backyard type of guy. It's just amazing.
It's true. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my wife's right over there. She can hear you guys. She'll never get on there. Her hair's not done. She'll be
No, that's okay. Nobody can see her. Only we can see her.
You want to come say hi?
No.
No, but we need to join you on your show. It'll be Gay Talk 5 years later, because it's been 5 fucking years that we've been on the air.
Yep. March. Holy shit. March 7th, it'll be 5 years.
Damn.
We're right around the corner.
Wow. That's beautiful, though. I'm glad you guys are still on. You're still going strong. I was so happy. You know, me and Ray, you know, Ray and I, we kept in touch because he was laid up for a long time getting better. Mm-hmm. I was like doing my thing, trying to get myself better. And I'm glad he called and wanted to do another podcast and that got back with you guys and everything. It's just, everything's working out great. Like it originally was supposed to.
Yeah.
It's a shame along the way we lost some people.
Right. Right. Well, I'm happy that you're having Drea back next week.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your podcast as far as when it airs, when it goes live, when
we're not doing anything live, Tom. I mean, I think, you can get the content on Wildfire Radio, wildfirepodcasting.com on Mondays at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes it might be there, or they run the Mitch Williams, who's a Phillies, an ex-Phillies pitcher. Ray does a show with him. So sometimes they run his show or our show live. It doesn't, you know, his show's taped, ours is live. So sometimes they flip-flop them. And I don't even want to get into that anymore. So I just tell everybody iTunes, Amazon. The show drops 2 minutes after we leave. So
Right.
It's good to just get us on iTunes, Amazon, or, you know, Stitcher. What's the other one? Google Play.
Mm-hmm. Well, Google Wherever Play is gone now. Now it's Google Podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so do you guys have a fan page on Facebook, Twitter?
All the old stuff where it was the idiots is now fantastic podcastic duo.
Okay,
you can get right on there. All you got to do is just put it in the search engine or go to my page, Andy Julia. I have all. I'm I share like a whore. So,
oh, we know, baby.
I'm out there, baby.
You might have sausage fingers, but that horse is something else.
He doesn't realize he's hitting the like button and the share button at the same time.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, Andy, my friend, it is absolutely great to have you and see you. I'm happy to see that you're doing well.
It's great to see you, man.
Seriously, it is.
Great seeing you guys. Thanks a lot for letting me have this time on the show. I miss you. You guys got to come down again. We got to come up there, especially now. Neither one of us is working. Maybe I'll talk to Ray. I'll ask him about the poem. Make sure he does the poem for you. And then see if we can get up there and be with you guys.
That sounds great.
Absolutely. We would absolutely love that. Blast. And, you know, if you're doing anything new, you're looking to, you know, talk about things that are happening in your area, you want to promote any live performances, eventually when we get there, let us know. You have our support because, you know, we love you. And
I love you guys.
You know, you're just, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right. We'll see you later.
I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. Bye.
All right, bye.
Well, ladies and gents, of course, that was Andy Julia, and you can catch him and his co-host, Ray Anthony, on the fantastic podcasting duo. The show is available on iTunes.
This is what I'm talking about. He just went to, like, hang up the Skype call. It was a one finger, and it was the entire phone.
The whole thing was gone, right? No. They are crazy. And so, you know, for our listeners, if you're thinking of, you know, checking out their show, just know that you're going to be shocked by some of the things that come out of their mouth.
I mean, they're shocked by some of the shit that comes out of our mouth.
True. And so, but you have to check them out. Andy he really is a ham.
I mean, they're all just like such sweethearts at the heart of everything.
Right.
But hilarious too. So. Right.
I always say, you know what? I've always loved Andy. I loved Schmo.
You know what? Honestly, like when we started this, and then we connected, because they were the first other podcast that we kind of connected with.
And I don't even know how that happened.
I don't remember.
I think somebody either reached out to us or they mentioned something and we reached out to them. And next thing you know, we were in fucking Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And
but it made me feel like, oh, wow, this thing is legit.
Right?
Like, we're not just behind a mic talking to ourselves.
Right.
People are actually listening.
Right. And you know, overall,
that was 4 years ago?
4 years ago, yeah. Because literally, we launched our show March 7th of 2016. Mm-hmm. And in June or July, we went to see them.
Yeah,
and we were
fell
on our way
with Andy.
I did. His sausage fingers. That was my baby. You know, but it is. Listen. Whenever you have an opportunity to take a group of straight men and educate them a little bit about the gay lifestyle and change their perspectives, including schmo, I jump on that. I jump on that because, you know, we need to make allies, not enemies. Mm-hmm. And you can only do that when you engage people and talk to them and love them.
I'm not going to lie, though. When we pulled up in Camden, I was like,
I was shit bricks.
Like, what are we doing here?
Right. Like, we were in a parking lot with my back door, like my back hatch open, and we were muddling peaches to add.
We were making some cocktail, or Chris was.
It was something bourbon. Yeah. It was a bourbon peach something,
yeah.
and we made enough for everybody. We stopped at a supermarket thinking, oh my God, we're going to get shot. Mm-hmm. And, but we, you know, we did what we had to do, and yeah. I loved it.
And it brought us so much, like right. Jess.
So many them. Connections, right?
Oh, it was right. amazing.
All right, well, listen, one more story. I want you to really talk about this because I think it's beautiful and amazing, and it will really end it in a nice note.
I mean, sort of nice.
Sort of.
All right. So I don't know if people know, but there is a USPS does what's called Operation Santa. So people can send, you know, their Christmas notes or whatever to Santa through
the United States.
Yeah, whatever. So anyway, so there was a young boy and he wrote to the group Operation Santa about. Well, thinking, I think he was writing to Santa.
Right.
But he was asking if God still loves him for being gay.
Right.
Now, I saw this and I'm like, it's a short story, but I think it's so important to talk about.
It's very powerful.
Yeah, because, I mean, I grew up, you know, an Italian Catholic. I'm not religious anymore.
Right.
I had a really hard time with you know, religion and certain people in my family with their religion and my homosexuality, because I still think whether it's God or a higher power, there's something supportive there for me.
Right.
But this individual wrote, "Dear Santa, do you support the LGBTQ community? And if you can speak to God, can you tell him I love him? And if he loves me for being gay, and ask him if he loves me for being gay," Will asked. And he concluded with love Will. And didn't ask for a toy, didn't ask for a doll, didn't ask for anything. What he asked Santa to do was let him know if he had a connection to God.
Right.
And if he could tell him that he loves him and ask him if God loves him for who he is.
Well, I will say this to you. I was you when I was very young. My grandmother used to make me go to church with her and run around. And I can tell you that I was that child. I was that child always crying and praying to God. Why am I gay? Why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. You know, is this right? Is this wrong? Am I going to hell? Am I, you know, are all these bad things that people say are going to happen to me are going to happen. And then I came to the realization, especially when my mother then knew that I was gay. And when she accepted me the way I was, and she said to me, "You're my son and I'm going to love you no matter what." That really opened up an opportunity for me to accept myself. And I will say this, if one exists, because I'm not religious, God loves you. Santa absolutely loves you. I've been gay all my life and I got presents every single year. So yes, Santa loves you.
So there was one other thing I wanted to mention about this. Somebody had tweeted, "The most heartbreaking thing and the worst part is that if this kid is asking this of Santa and or whomever, then there's a huge chance that this person is not receiving the love that they need.
Right.
And the support that they need. There's a huge chance that they are.
Right.
And they're hearing this from outside sources. But the reality is we don't know.
Well, it's a possibility, right?
But I think that that's something that's really important to note. I mean, we have people like Mama Kim, who we know 100% supports the right. community, her son, and everybody. But there are a lot of young kids, whether this kid is considered too young in society's terms, doesn't matter. The reality is, like, there are a lot of kids out there that are struggling with this. And if we can't show them that, whether a higher power or God or whatever, they still love you for being you.
Right.
We have, you know, more kids that are going to hate themselves and potentially right. hurt themselves, or, you know, feed into homophobia and all of that stuff. And it's such a powerful thing to have a little kid send a Santa letter that's asking something so pointed and specific.
Right.
And I don't think that I've ever seen anything like this before in my life.
No, but, and to think that 20, 30 years ago, that may not have been something that would have gone out.
No, I remember, I mean, you said it earlier. I remember being a kid, I would, because I was Italian Catholic, I would lay in my bed and I would pray. I'd be like, God, of all the men in the world, it can't be me. I can't be gay. Like, am I gay? Right. You know, like, I would ask that question over and over and over in my head.
And
I finally came to terms with who I was.
Right.
But this kid has the strength to say, I am who I am.
Right.
Can you ask him if he still loves me because I love him?
Right.
He's not thinking about himself necessarily. He's thinking about the fact that I love God, or I want to love God. I want to know if he loves me too.
Right. And to answer your question, yes. I wholeheartedly believe that he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And take that with you and walk in life or throughout your life in strength, because you're going to need it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not an easy life it's not easy to be gay. It's not easy to walk life in your truth when so many other people around you don't accept who you are. That is just, you know, the nature of who we are as a community and what we have to go through every day. But it's getting better. And you know, there's a lot of organizations out there that that make it better. It gets better is one of them. You know, as you grow every day, and you live life and you experience those experiences that change you, that mold you, that make you who you are, you get stronger.
And also, too, I think as a parent, because we know there are a few listening.
Right.
If you get a Christmas letter like that, how are you going to react?
Right.
I mean, right now, if it were me, obviously I'm a gay man, but I don't know. I would get a box and I'd, you know, put, have you ever seen those boxes with the butterflies? When you open it, they fly out.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm talking about?
They're beautiful, but sometimes they scare the fuck out of people.
Not real butterflies, but like the paper ones that yeah, fly right. out, whatever. I would
They get, still scare you.
Yeah, but I would get something like that and I would have my child open it. And then when they open it, have a note in there or be there right next to them and be like, yeah. We all love you. God loves you. Whoever you choose to be will love you.
Right.
I think it's important that, especially this time of year, especially when we're all quarantining, especially when maybe this kid has a really supportive family, but he's nervous because he's quarantined. He doesn't know what's going on. Maybe his parents don't realize it. Maybe they're ignorant. Maybe they have said things in the past. Right. Just to give them a token and say, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And if I ever said anything that made you feel this way, that's on me. And that's my fault. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. But you're going to be amazing. And we love you no matter what.
Right. And this brings me to a memory, something that I've had engraved in my mind since it happened. I believe it was 2017. It was one of the first years that we did Transgender Awareness Month, and where we were celebrating and talking about transgender folks, whether that was a woman or a man, and talking about the different experiences, the lived experiences, and how they move through life, right? And we had Tony Ferriello on the show. Mm-hmm. And I remember that he was talking about the impact that a parent can have on a child, especially one who is transgender, when you don't accept who they are. And one of the things that he said that stuck with me was, you know, first and foremost, before anything, this is your child. You need to make sure that you're looking out for the well-being of your child, regardless of how you feel about them being either gay, bisexual, transgender, or anything. And he said, you know, stop. Don't react. When your child says to you, this is who I am, take a moment, go in your room, cry it out if you have to, and then compose yourself and come back out and handle the situation. Because in the end, this is still your child, someone that you've loved all along until this point. And something this minuscule or minute shouldn't be a reason why all of a sudden you unlove someone.
Right. And I think also, too, like, if you find yourself in that situation where you need to walk away and process, right, that's important that you acknowledge that and do it in a healthy, safe way.
Right.
But also, if you don't know what to do, there are plenty of resources out there. If you get a letter like this, or if you find out that your son or daughter is trans, gay, bi, lesbian, whatever, there are so many resources out there that can help you. And for example, I know I already talked about Mama Kim, but Mama Kim took the initiative to learn more, to understand more. She was supportive no matter what, but she wanted to understand more and be there and be supportive. And that's what she did. And there are plenty of resources out there to do that.
Right. And there's a lot of parents out there that need those resources, need to know where they can go to be able to find those. And if you have a local LGBTQ center in your area, go there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of amazing information, you know, that would really suit you and be able to find information on how you can address, you know, possibly someone coming out to you, et cetera, as a parent. And I think it's important. So, I think we should wrap it up. Yeah. I think it's time for us to go home. Well, I am home already, but, you know, time for us to bring it home. But before we do, I wanted to mention tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. And so it's very important that as a community, we support those centers and spaces that are doing the great work for our community, for those who are underserved in our community. And so if you have a local LGBTQ center, or an agency, or someone, an entity, whether that be It Gets Better, or whether that's the Trevor Project, or someone in the LGBT community, consider, if you have a little extra, to throw them a couple of dollars. Tomorrow's one of their biggest fundraising days in the entire year. Because the New Haven Pride Center is so near and dear to our heart and very near to us and supports our community, if you're a listener and you live in our area and you're looking for an organization to support, the New Haven Pride Center is by far an amazing organization that we encourage that you support, along with any others that you have.
I think it's also important to note,
right,
Giving Tuesday has been established as the Tuesday after Cyber Monday.
Right.
But, you know, you hear Giving Tuesday and you're like, oh, I'm just giving my money away. But in reality, there are a lot of programs, foundations, individuals, and organizations that are matching a lot of the donations that are coming in. So in a lot of cases, your money doubles. So if you give one, it's actually two. If you give five, it's actually 10, so on and so forth. So keep that in mind when you decide to give on Tuesday, because your money in a lot of cases can double.
Right. And so, you know, and as we said, if you have an organization that's near and dear to your heart, make sure that you support them. COVID has been very tough. I know that there's a lot of people that are unemployed out there. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't, we understand. But if you can, please, we ask you that you support your local organization, especially those in our community, if you're a community member, because you're specifically helping members of our community overcome a lot of adversity that we all know we faced at some point in time.
And if you can't support local because there isn't anything local, there are plenty of national national organizations like the Matthew Shepard Foundation, et cetera, or you can go to another local organization, for example, the New Haven Pride Center, to help support the community. So
awesome. Make sure that you do that. And I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. But we're, of course, going to move on to two segments that we have to cover before we wrap it up. So mm-hmm. I'm going to toss it over to my co-host.
All right, everybody. Yes. So here's Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, seven new LGBTQ plus holiday movies and shows we are excited for as fuck for this year.
Yes.
Number two, Biden announces first LGBTQ plus appointee in his administration. Number three, Netflix latest The Prom trailer shows the Ryan Murphy camp we love. And number four, gay penguin power couple. I love that they're calling Sven and Magic a power couple now. Power couple. Hatches another chick, which we talked about, and they may be grandparents soon.
Right, because their previous chick is nesting at the moment. Yep. So super excited. Those are Mama Kim's stories. Those stories are available and will be posted on tonight's post. You can go click on them and read them for yourselves. Nick?
All right, and this week's Gay Talk Term, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com. Is randomly Bird in Gilded Cage, which I'm not talking about Sven and Magic, but
why not?
So Bird in Gilded Cage means man's crotch clothed in expensive trousers.
Yes.
Okay, I'll
see,
take it.
See me like my wolf underwear? They're expensive because I mean, literally, I treat them like trousers. That's all I wear.
That's all you wear. Tom, take all it right. away.
Well, ladies and gents, on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
It is on when? November 30th, 2006, where South Africa, first African country, legalizes same-sex marriage. So in the country of South Africa, excuse me, cursive, the Civil Unions Act goes into effect in South Africa. South Africa therefore becomes the first country in the world to pass, the fifth country in the world to pass marriage equality way back in 2006. The U.S. wouldn't do it for another 9 years. Mm-hmm. So I would like to thank you all for joining us on today's show. If you love the show, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your favorite podcasting device as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon. Given Tuesday's tomorrow. We're also an organization we love. just saying. With Patreon, you, our listeners, can support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Nick?
All right. And next week, we welcome Dr. G for another installment of Tales from the Tale, and we think it's going to be something very special.
Yes.
And thank you to our guest, Andy Julia. It was so wonderful reconnecting and hearing all about your new podcast, Fantastic Podcastic Duo.
Right. Tongue twister.
Seriously, but I nailed it. But we can't wait to listen to more of it. So glad to reconnect with you. And don't forget, you can get your discount for the future method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per person.
I think that we should mention where that website is at some point.
Probably.
Right. So you can go to futuremethod.com. There it is. All right. Well, ladies and gents, I would like to thank you all for joining us. It's time to put a rubber on it.
Yeah.
I would like to put a rubber on each one of Andy's sausage fingers.
Oh, my God.
I think that would be amazing. All right. Well, listen, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcasts. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
All right. Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gaytalk20.com.
Yes. And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question from the cast, or an individual host, or you can even submit whether or not you want to join our show as a guest. So make sure that you go check us out there. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We'll answer those for you on the show. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all those numbers, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget, we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish. Wow.